was already there. And when your problem is gone, God is still going to be there for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you'll begin to worship Him in spirit and truth and get in right relationship with the Word of God, He will step in on your behalf. And great things will come. Some of us are a little bit shyer than others. And I'm not talking about you having to get out and take your shoes off and run or jump or holler or scream. Look like a command. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about in your heart having a relationship with God that when the presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost falls, you're sensitive to the Spirit of God. And you come in worshiping. Not talking about your problems, not worried about your issues. You come in just worshiping. God, I love you this morning. God, I think when they start up the song, stand. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand for victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. I don't know about you, but I want to make it to heaven. I want to see glory. I want to stand before Jesus. I used to think I would have all these questions, and I do have a lot of questions that I want to ask Jesus, but I just have a feeling that whenever I get in the awe of His presence and glory and that light shining, that all those questions are just going to go away. I ain't even going to be a concern because I'm going to be in the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to worship Him. Hallelujah. I've got to worship Him in spirit and truth now. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Not only are we admonished to worship with a voice of praise, with a voice of singing, with clapping our hands, but we are also told to praise the Lord. Psalms 150. Pick you up about verse 3. With the sound the trumpet. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. You've got to worship Him in spirit and truth and remember these words. Praise ye the Lord. In whatever way, whatever your nature or your emotion is, praise ye the Lord. If you're shy, if you're boisterous, if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're mad, if you're angry, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're broke, if you're homeless, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. No matter what state you find yourself, praise ye the Lord. Don't let the devil tell you that this type of worship was for a different age or a different dispensation of time. Jesus said, "The hour cometh and now is." Now is. In other words, it's going to be in order to worship sincerely from your spirit in the future, and it's going to be in order for you to worship Him in spirit and truth right now. Yes, it is. Now is the time. The history of the New Testament church is found in the book of Acts. And this book is called the Acts of the Apostles. And by reading this book, you will find out how the apostles and the early church members acted on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, if you will. The actions of the worshipers were of such a nature that some accuse them of being a drunk and a little bit tipsy. They were looking on and in awe of these people, and it's so early and they're high. Look at them. Peter exclaimed in Acts 2 and 15, these are not drunken as ye suppose. They're drunk, but they're not drunk like you're thinking they're drunk. And he went on to inform the multitude that these had just been filled with the Spirit and the presence of God. And Peter and John, they came to the gate of beautiful at one time at the temple, and they see a man that is there, a lame man, and he is begging for alms. And Peter says unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give that to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And we find the emotional reaction of this man again in Acts 3 and 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God. Hallelujah. I want to worship him in spirit and truth. We're talking about true worship this morning. True worship. In Acts, we also read Acts 4 and 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God. The word of God with boldness. Boldness. You know, Christian people throughout history have been accused of being emotional. If you look at every denomination, and you begin to study the history of every denomination, at some point in their history, they were emotional about worship. They might be prim and proper now and wear robes or sit quietly and read, but at one point in their history, they were emotional about their worship. Somewhere along the way, they got sophisticated. And there's nothing wrong with being sophisticated. But I don't want to lose that emotional connection from my heart. I don't want to lose the sensitivity to the anointing of the Holy Ghost and coming in and God speaking to a music director or singer and them just changing everything on the spot. Because the presence and power of God said, hey, we need to change the lineup. I want to be sensitive to God. I want to be receptive to what God. I want to worship him in spirit and in truth. So they had boldness. They had boldness. And Christians throughout time have been accused. And at some point, every denomination has been accused of being very emotional, very, very into this. But everyone else in the world is emotional. Everyone else is sensitive. I speak at schools and other any venue that opens up. I'll go pray or speak to them or give motivational speech of an encouragement or leadership or being efficient, you know, things like that. I do that a lot. I love doing it. I feel like it's an opportunity at some point for me to interject truth. I enjoy doing that. Everyone else in the world, if we deal with sad people cry. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're sad, you cry. Joyful people, they laugh. Frightened people, they sometimes scream or run, holler. They're scared. Angry people, they'll sometimes want to fight. They'll want to pout because they're mad. Yeah, it's an emotional. Everyone will become emotional. We become emotional about different things. I saw where they had a 1,000-member choir singing the national anthem in a hotel. It was beautiful. It was emotional. That's my country. We have the Olympics going on in Russia right now. They win the gold medal. They play our anthem, lift our flag. It's emotional. You let 9/11 hit and we get emotional. Everybody, they didn't have enough flags produced for everybody going out and buying the flag. The rest of the time, there's flags sitting on the shelf. Yeah. But we become emotional about different things that are inside of us. And these things and these feelings inside of us, they have to be expressed. We're talking about true worship. We're talking about worshiping God. In every other aspect of life, every other aspect of life, people are told, vent your feelings.
You got to let that go. Release it.
It's not good for you to keep this bottled up inside of you. And it's not. You got to let that light come forth. You've got to let it shine. Yeah, yeah. Just get it off your chest. It's going to be okay. So in every other aspect of life, we encourage people to vent and to get this stuff off and don't bottle it up. So why is it so wrong for me to praise God? Why is it so wrong for me to worship God in spirit and in truth? It's not considered wrong to shout praises when your favorite sports star scores a touchdown or dunks a basketball. I have seen people do some crazy things. You want to talk about pew running, aisle running? You watch a Super Bowl. You watch a game, a state championship in Texas. Yeah, Katy High School. Yeah, we played in the Astrodome. And you want to see some nuts? You go to a state football game where there are thousands of people sitting there rooting for their high school. They'll do some crazy stuff. Just from emotion, just from feeling. So tell me why true worshipers are called crazy if they get a little excited and rejoice out loud about the Almighty God, the Creator, when thousands of people will run and they'll jump and they'll swarm out of onto the turf of a football field and literally tear down the goalpost and just swarm the field, and they're considered sane and normal. But because I want to come to church and say hallelujah, praise God, isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? People will get mad at that. People will be offended by that. I mean no offense. I've just come to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And He is worthy. So I begin to think, why is it that people condemn a group of worshipers? We're not doing anything different than what they're doing. I'm not calling them out and saying, hey, bud, you stepped on my toe when you went by trying to get down there on the field. I'm not doing that. Have a good time. Do what you want to do. I'm not condemning, some of these people. You know, here we are. We play instruments for God. And when I first started learning an instrument to play, my dad, he brought me aside and he said, I want you to make a commitment to me that you'll never play this and a way that wouldn't be lifting up God. And as a little boy, I committed to that. As a teenager, I rebelled some. But thank God we serve a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I began to wonder why. Why it's such a big issue one way, but it's not the other way. And this is what I come up with. The devil is only against the emotions that we have that exalt God. He's only against the emotions that exalt God. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't want us to exalt God. I want you to know that in the eyes of your Creator, in the eyes of your Creator, it is pleasing and pleasing to Him to see us worship and to see your hands lifted and to hear your voice saying, praise God. Lord, I love you. If you're not a boisterous person, just in your heart say, God, I surrender all to you. God, I'm giving forth utterances of praise to the one God, the God. The writer of Hebrews said this, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually, that's without ceasing. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. There have always been and will always be those who call true worship wrong and who say true worship shouldn't be anywhere in the world. When the Apostle Paul was called before the governor Felix, he was accused of being a dangerous fellow, and he had profaned the temples, what they had accused him of. And when the governor beckoned for Paul to come before him and to speak, he denied the charges, but he did say this in Acts 24 and 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Not only is it proper to worship God sincerely from the feeling of a man's spirit in Jesus' day or in the apostles' day or in this present day, but John the Revelator foresaw a day at the close of this dispensation when men will worship God in heaven. I've come to tell you, we've got to worship Him, true worship, in spirit and in truth from our hearts. It's not about you getting out in the aisle and hollering like a Comanche. It's not about you running around and making laps around the church. We had a guy when I was little, he would let out this war whoop and he'd hit the back door and he would go outside and come all the way back around. My dad one day just pure, probably meanness, he locked. The guy hit the door. It wasn't like these latches we have here. He hit that door. Usually it opened up because it's unlatched. He hit that door and just kind of fell back, kind of looked around, let out another war whoop, took off again, went around inside. It's not about that, though. If that's what you feel, fine. But it's about right here. It's about being real right here. It's about, God, I love you right here. People around me might not understand my relationship with you, God, but I love you and I want you. And I have a relationship with God. True worship. It's done from the heart. It's done from the heart. It's not done because you have to. It's not done because you're putting on a show. It's not done when just people are looking at you. You can tell a lot about a person. Yeah, you can tell a lot about their prayer life and their walk with God. When you watch them when everybody is watching, and they're out hooping and hollering, but boy, you let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come down and a brand new person is praying or having something happen in their life and they're down in the altar praying, that person just sitting back watching. Where is that relationship? If it's real when everybody is watching, then it needs to be real when nobody's watching. We got to be sensitive to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We got to be sensitive to the presence of God. We've got to let God talk to us and work with us and deal with us. We got to make some deliberate decisions in our life. So John the Revelator, check this out. Here he is, and he's seeing this vision. He's experiencing this in Revelations. We look at chapter 4 and verse 10. They cast their golden crowns before him in worship. And then we go down chapter 5, verse 9. People of every kindred it talks about, and tongue and nation, sing a new song in worship. And then in chapter 11 and verse 16, men fall on their faces before him. And then in chapter 19, John said, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth. Make Him Lord of your life today in true worship from your heart. From your heart. I'm not about a denomination. I'm about the Word of God. I'm about a relationship with God. Denominations might come and go, but the Word of God is not going to go. It's going to stay. And I want to be in right relationship with God. Brother Charlie, you can go get Brother Ethan for me. We're going to have a baptism in just a few moments. He can begin to get ready. You know, it comes back to the heart. It comes back to the heart. What's in your heart? You can tell a lot about a man about what's in their heart. Yeah. You can tell a lot about a person about their actions and how they commune with people and deal with people. If they're honest, if they're fair. Check out what the Bible says. Sister Mark, put up Matthew 15, I believe it is. Let's put that up. For out of the heart. Proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things which defile a man. You know, you don't have to teach a child how to lie. It's there naturally. You don't have to teach him how to. Well, did you do your chores, Johnny? Oh, yeah, I did my chores. You go outside and the chores hadn't been done. Yeah. You don't have to teach them how to slip around and manipulate a situation. They do that naturally. They'll tell you enough of what you want to hear. It's the kind of a bait and switch thing, you know. And as cute as that little baby is right now that you're holding in your arms, trust me, it's in them. It's in them. So these things come out naturally out of the heart. And where we've got to get, and the place we've got to get, is where we say, God, forgive me for these things that are in my heart. Wash me if there's anything that would hold me back or keeping me from living for you in right relationship. God, I want to be a true worshiper. I've got to let the light shine. I've got to let the light shine. I've got to let the glory of God get through all the chaos, all the frustration. Hey, just because you're a happy person doesn't mean you ain't going to face stuff. Just because you're full of God doesn't mean you're not going to have issues and trials. Trust me. But when you get to a place of true worship, when those times come of frustration, when those times come of disappointment, when things happen that you can't explain, that relationship of worship and that power of the Holy Ghost will come in and begin to comfort you. And you can let the anointing of God cover your life in that situation. And instead of imploding the situation, you'll begin to fix it. You'll begin to work on it. And you'll find a newness of life. And you'll find a newness of yourself. You're just at peace when things happen. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. I'm going to make it. That didn't come from just somebody saying that. It comes because I've had relationship with the Creator. He already knew about this. I'm only going through this because it's a testing time, or it's a growing time, or it's a maturing time. True worship. Look at your neighbor and say, true worship. Psalm 16 and 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want to make it to heaven, folks. My only agenda is to make it. I want to make it. I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy God and relationship with people. But my goal is to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet as the musicians come, we get ready for this baptism. I wonder if you this morning, being a true worshiper, if you would just raise your hands right where you are and just ask God, God, cover my heart, cover my life, cover my family. We're in family month this month. We're in relationship month this month. God, we want you to cover our families and our homes. We want you to cover our children. We want you to cover our work, our jobs, our employment, our employees. God, we want to worship you in spirit and truth. God, we want your love and your light to shine through us. Lord, we want your mercy. We want your relationship, God.